You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures do extend some gains here as Fed Chair Powell on the Hill today says substantial further progress is still a ways off. Lots of earnings from the banks, BlackRock, Delta, and Apple's poised for a record high. Our roadmap begins with Inflation Nation. Powell preparing to testify before Congress says inflation has increased notably. We'll tell you what you can expect to hear from the head of the Fed.
Plus the big banks report earnings. We're going to give you the numbers and commentary from the CEOs of Bank of America, Citi, and Wells Fargo.
And Delta shares moving higher after reporting its first quarterly operating profit since before the pandemic with some help from some federal aid. Where do we start here, Jim? The banks, I know you've been looking at BAC and Citi today. Nice upside surprise in net interest income over at Citi.
Yes, I think what matters here is that we're going from companies that we've kind of said, you know what, those banks aren't that well, really aren't that great, to saying, wait a second. Wells Fargo and Citi are cheap versus the others because they haven't been doing that well. I mean, I'm looking at Wells Fargo and I'm saying, nothing special. But, you know, they beat on revs, they beat on expenses, they beat on net interest income, not special. And then I realize, wow, David, that's what you want. It's the trifecta. Charlie Scharf, he's back. He's bigger than ever.
Okay. Now, the stock has had a very strong run from the lows, but as you point out, it went a lot lower than anything else. So it had a long way to come back, still does.
And it misses, you know, to me, it is still a pitiful, helpless giant. But the fact is that he, Charlie Scharf, is making it more efficient. And by the way, honest.
Honesty is important.
It's good.
In banking, particularly, you want that. Yesterday, we had good numbers, it would have appeared, certainly from Goldman Sachs, without a doubt. I mean, man, $33 billion in revenues, that used to be a year. $12 billion in profit, that used to be a year. In fact, that would rank as their seventh best profitable year at Goldman for a year instead of being a half a year.
And yet they were humble.
And yet the stock didn't do anything.
Well, because JP Morgan didn't do anything. The stock is up like 150 bucks from the last time I really focused on it. You're looking at, David, myopically. You're a myopic person.
Okay.
Because what mattered is not the 47 minutes of how it did yesterday. It's a continuum. It's a journey.
It's a journey. Carl, it's a journey.
It's a journey. Did you see him yesterday with the food trucks and Wolf?
Yes.
I mean, all he did was say everything's fabulous. It's fabulous. This is fabulous. This is fabulous. That's great. This is fabulous. It was fabulous.
Well, he did talk about the Chinese perhaps delaying some IPOs back here, which we're going to talk more about later on this morning.
Well, look, I think that Goldman should be much higher. I mean, I saw some price target increases to 400. Makes sense. Can we just accept the fact that J.P. Morgan was so great that nobody cared?
Well, we do have a bunch of price target hikes today on JPM.
Yeah, that's true.
Piper 184.
Right, multiple moves.
CS 177, right?
J.P. Morgan was terrific. But let's just step back for a second. These banks should have been, in light of the fact that we were supposed to have a depression from COVID, these banks are showing you of a balance sheet of the American consumer that may be the best ever, best in our history.
Yes.
We have been dealing with a consumer in America who was always chronically overspending, beyond means.
Not saving.
Now we are.
It's incredible. You take a look at total deposits, average balances. Wells Fargo, for example, quarter ended June 30, 2020, it was $715 billion in deposits, $835 billion. Now that's a 17% increase, but just the number alone,
It's all from the Fed. It's all from the
billion
Fed.
Billion additional dollars in deposits just at Wells Fargo
in
1 year.
We had nothing to spend. Right? We had nothing.
And by the way, the numbers are the same for Bank of America. They're the same for Citi. They're the same for J.P. Morgan.
This is unusual. We're Americans.
Enormously.
We only know to spend. What happened? Well, it took a disease. Well,
and as a result, guys, at Wells, consumer loans down 10.
Amazing.
Commercial loans down 22. Do we ever need to borrow money ever again?
Well, I mean, I think that Brian Moynihan would tell you that we're about to have an explosion in loans. Jamie Dimon, thinks it's about to be exposed to loans because people are so confident. Here's a stat for you from Bank of America. Do you know that travel loans are up 8% from 2019? That's a Phil LeBeau emergency number. Travel up 8%.
Travel loans.
From 2019. Travel expenses.
Oh.
Travel expenses. People are up 8% from 2019. Up 8%. People have money, will travel. It's the millennials. They feel so confident. They've embraced Delta.
Yep.
And not just the airline.
No, which we'll get to. And credit quality obviously has improved, as you say. We've got a lot of reserve releases. Investors don't really react to that.
No.
It helps profitability a great deal. You can see what Moynihan has
like Wolf is talking about some British
consumer
loan
spending,
thing.
He says, has significantly surpassed pre-pandemic levels. Deposit growth, as we were just saying, is very strong. And even loan levels have begun.
And yet his stock's down, David. What do you think of that?
Yeah, his stock. Well, they didn't hit some of the estimates, I guess.
Oh,
right?
It missed on net interest. Okay, yeah. It missed on net interest margin. All I can tell you is that net interest income did not go down much, even though the Fed slashed rates. Can you imagine what will happen to this thing when the Fed starts raising? This is the rocket ship. And I'm not talking about Virgin Galactic, which hasn't had a day up since the darn thing. This is real. This is real. I mean, Kathy Wood should think about this. It should be a Woodstock if they start.
Really? So her comments yesterday, doubling down on growth, saying that she would not be long oil here. You think she's backing herself into a corner?
Yeah, but you know, the last few days, of course, she does not run a mutual fund.
She should own the banks. Because they're going to be rocket ships.
Come on, I always say
that.
She's on at 4 o'clock.
I just want to make sure.
She's on at 4 o'clock. I did that to be provocative. It's called provocative.
They get the joke because she's big on space. He was saying the banks are going to be rocket ships. Therefore, Kathy Wood should buy them, but not really because, of course, she won't.
Ain't you ever heard of an emoji?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kathy Wood has not gotten good fund flows most recently, the flows are bad. Now, she will say, listen, I have nothing to do with flows, and that's true. But it's a great barometer of how people are thinking. And I believe that willy-nilly growth period seems to have peaked a little bit here. But I do believe, like her, she and I agree on inflation. Now, she, of course, says we're on deflation. That's a hard one to swallow. I'm not seeing deflation.
You're not seeing deflation?
No. No, not when you can get a job.
A lot of people seem to think. I mean, Larry Fink this morning certainly seems to differ.
Very interesting.
From Fed
very
Chair Powell.
Intriguing.
And former
yes.
Treasury Secretary Mnuchin also certainly seems a bit concerned.
Right. Fink's framework for inflation is that whether or not it's transitory, we're entering a new period in which we're repatriating jobs,
right.
Manufacturing, national security is going to sort of cut off a bit the efficiency of global supply chains and the price benefit that consumers have gotten from it. Here's what Fink said.
Overall, with the amount of fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus, and more importantly, with the amount of cash that is looking to be put to work, and I believe the trend line is still going to be upward, maybe not as fast. Maybe it's going to be very moderate for the next 6 months as we digest how the world is able to handle the Delta variant and the speed in which vaccinations occur throughout the world. And then two, what is going to be inflation out 6 months in a year?
And speaking of which, flash ahead just now, BlackRock to raise base salaries 8% for all active employees. All
right. I have a wrap on Jay Powell that I'm going to reveal right now. Jay Powell is he's not a communist.
Thanks for that, Jim.
Well, it's
good to know.
Because I want to give you a little parameters here.
I appreciate
Jay Powell is a little bit more like a Trotskyite, where the workers should own more of the means of production. Now, let's just back out because that was obviously hyperbole. I think Jay Powell thinks that people have been underpaid in this country, that CEOs are overpaid, that we've all made too much money who are rich, and he actually wants people to participate in the great American dream of making a little more money than they used to. And in that sense, he's a bit of a revolutionary, because what he's saying is, how long are we going to allow this disparity between the rich and the poor in this country?
Which and has only been exacerbated yet again over this last period.
Yeah, and I think I think when he hears that 8%, I think what he secretly says is, you know what? Hey, that's not bad. How about when McDonald's people are starting to get a bonus? Isn't that good? I mean, their lives haven't been great, for heaven's sake.
Although inflation is not great either when you are earning at the lower end of the wage scale.
Oh, and the inflationistas will tell you that the person who's really hurt is the person who works at Chipotle. No. No, because technology will take care of that kind of inflation. That's a Benioff wrap.
Okay.
Mark's worried about, some of these new Lambda. Lamb.
So you do think that software, technology,
we'll take care of
demographics, productivity.
Right.
You're a net, you'd say you're a dove?
Yes.
Over five years?
I am. But I'm also someone who believes that the country's way off the rails when it comes to the rich versus the poor. And that when I hear that there are work, that it's hard to get a job, that there's too many jobs for truck drivers, I say to myself, that's a lousy job. Why shouldn't they be paid the way that white-collar people are paid, for heaven's sake? Why should white-collar people make so much more? Why should this is what I'm saying with Jay Powell. Jay Powell goes home to dinner, and he says to his wife, you know what? A lot of people who have never had a raise in this country are getting raises, and that's good.
True.
And we have to just flip the paradigm for a second.
Work their butts
off. We don't want those people to make more money because we want more capital. We want stocks higher. No. He's saying, you know what? They got raises. Hallelujah. You know, a dishwasher, instead of making 15, is making 18. Guy gets out of prison, white-collar crime. Guy gets 18. That's good.
Well, one thing...
Is that socialist? It's good.
Well, and if that's true, he better hope that inflation stays within the box.
Right.
And one thing we'll be listening for today is whether or not they're going to say, you know what, this may go on for a little longer than we thought.
Well, I think that once we finish this transition of hybrid, non-hybrid, where people are realizing that they're going to get in trouble, the interns, how about the interns being called back by Bank of America, right? I mean, the first time, once you're called back, then that whole transitory thing where we're buying a home here, rich people are buying a home here, buying a home there, even the second car thesis is going to start going down. So I think what Powell is doing is saying, you know what, the hybrid's going to play out. And the cost of this is that 40 or 50 million people who had no hope of getting a raise are going to get a raise. And they don't have to go to Stanford computer. They don't have to be computer scientists.
It's a great point. It's a great and important point. It underscores your call that this is going to go longer.
By the way,
you saw some quotes.
There is an American dream. We're not American servitude.
No, it's an interesting.
We have a servitude
class. That
class.
Said, there are those who will argue that inflation is pernicious when it really gets going, and
it's pernicious for my dishwasher who's finally making 18.
Anybody living on a fixed income, which is more and more people. How many baby boomers have retired?
Larry Fink addressed that. He had some good things to say about Larry Fink. Was really.
Yeah, it was a great interview, as you said.
It's prescient guy.
We just saw some quotes from Moynihan on Back to Work. By the way, 85% of their buildings being open are, okay, but they're not. Bank of America's more in the city camp in terms of after Labor Day, we'll see.
Right. Oh, but he wants them back.
They're not
Goldman
or JPM. Oh, but he
wants them back.
They
wants them back.
Not yet, but they're both brokers. Talk to a Merrill broker. Ask them where they are, where they're ever going to be. They're not coming back.
Well, I told you that the hybrid model of Goldman crushed it.
They are not coming back.
I bet you they don't even have as good
maybe
numbers when they're home.
By the way, it's not clear to me a financial advisor needs to be in the office. I'm not quite sure, but they're not. And that's a lot of their workforce is they got a lot of them.
I think there's still not a lot of
bankers.
Business travel, David, which you have hounded me on,
yes.
Still not coming back.
Business travel, no. I was with a banker last night. Says, I want to travel, and this is what I hear from all my clients. You know what? If you want to come, we'll have dinner, but I'm not in the office.
Were you at Marais?
I'm not in the office.
Were you at Marais?
So
where'd you go?
I wasn't. I will be soon, but I wasn't last night.
This is what the Marais class I call it. These are people who can go out to dinner. Versus the people who go to Bar San Miguel and they got an $8 beer, and that's about all they can afford.
I will not be there because I will be. Yeah, so I apologize.
I'm just saying that Jay Powell. Look, I think it's okay that people make a little more. I'm sorry that I sound like a communist.
No, I mean it's 40 years of the pendulum swinging to capital instead of labor.
Can't we just have those people make a little more money? I mean, I wash dishes. My father fired me from that job. He wanted me to be a busboy. I wash dishes.
What are you paying people in your restaurant now?
18 to 20.
What am I paying to eat there?
I kept the prices for food only up 20%. I made beer go up
20%. Was that only up 20? Yeah, okay.
No, that's, again, Fink's point about equities, that the margins are going to be the key, right?
Right.
What you can absorb.
Right. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying that you got to charge more if you're going to pay people what they deserve. People work incredibly hard, and these bosses work 2 hours in their Lake Sunapee, and the company's falling apart, and they're making millions, and my guy comes to work at 3 p.m., he works until 11 p.m., and what the hell with him making a little extra money? What?
I'm with you.
Lake Sunapee.
I don't know where that is.
Well, it's in the middle of the state, New Hampshire.
We're going to talk more about certainly business travel. Delta's Ed Bastian talked about what he thinks corporate travel is going to be come September. In the meantime, with Powell on deck around 12 o'clock, futures are green. Back in a minute.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
We're into a full recovery of our business, led by the U.S. consumer. Demand is robust. In fact, U.S. consumer travel is at, if not even beyond, the levels that we saw in 2019. We're working on business. Business is coming back. International is a little choppy. But as you said, we were able to take what had been a series of fairly large losses. We've been losing for the last several quarters about $3 billion a quarter, down to a loss of less than $900 million. And in the third quarter, we're expecting to be solidly profitable and stay profitable.
Wow. That's Delta's Ed Bastian with our Phil LeBeau earlier on Squawk. The carrier posting a quarterly beat, helped by stronger customer demand. It's the first quarterly profit since 2019, thanks to federal aid, Jim. And it's coming on the heels of the Americans pre-announce. A couple nice data points on airlines.
I think these are such great things. I mean, think about it. They were all supposed to go under. I mean, you remember there was a period where we all felt that if you got into a plane, it was the most dangerous place on earth for COVID?
You mean like 100 days ago?
Yeah, 100 days ago. And they got saved. All these companies could have easily gone under. Every one of those could have gone under. Now they're buys. Actually, they've been buys for a little bit. United Airlines needs international to come back.
Well, they did pile on a good amount of debt. A lot of them also added a decent amount of equity.
Right.
So their enterprise values are typically far above where they were pre-pandemic, in part because
but
of that.
The cruise ships are alive.
You're right. They live to play again.
Jay Powell, I have to give the security, the guy who's in security business now.
Mr. Mnuchin?
Yeah, I got to give him some credit.
Yeah.
But Jay Powell, again, Jay Powell deciding, hey, you know what? Maybe it's better that they don't go under. Let's put a floor underneath them. The day that Carnival got the $8, went to $8, and people said, well, that's the end. No. We save so much money as a country bailing out these companies. By the way, Frank Del Rio, not allowed to really talk that much about this lawsuit where he wants to make the boat safer. And that's not the other, that's contra.
Right. Understood.
Wait till Lambda hits us. Oh. It's going to hit us like a ton of bricks. You know, that's Lambda's the next one everyone's talking about.
Yes. Well, here's an Omega. I'm not sure.
We've moved Alpha, on from Delta to Lambda.
I just know Lambda.
Yeah. Well, they also say Delta Plus. I mean, all the jargon regarding the variants.
I know. But, it is a serious business, and yet people just say, listen, I don't worry about long COVID. I'll get hospitalized.
Actually, right. That was Goldman's point yesterday. Goldman did a piece in the afternoon saying any resurgence in this, it's not likely to shift consumer behavior.
I know.
It hasn't so far.
I think it's incredible. Yeah. Do you have Costin 1 to 10?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
He did a piece
on antitrust last night. He sent it to me at 1:30 a.m. I think that's when he finished. It's excellent. We should get him on.
I think maybe tomorrow, what I'm told.
It's an excellent piece. Apparently, we trash a lot of research. I'm saying that's a great piece.
Kramer's Mad Dash in a moment, along with the opening bell in 10 minutes. Don't go away.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, let's get to a mad dash here as we get ready for an opening bell. It's a hump day, by the way.
It is hump day.
Yeah, to remember
you're
that.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. David, Loki season two.
Loki.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be Loki is going to be renewed. Now, why do I mention that?
Yes.
Because one of the more thought-provoking pieces that I've read in a long time hit my desk today, Michael Nathanson.
Oh, I saw that piece this morning as
and
well.
One of the reasons I like this is just because the guy knows how to do a title here. Disney, what happens when one world opens as another slows? Now, I happen to like this piece because there is a big split here, which was Chapek, Disney Plus doing well, but how about the openings? We're hearing more and more about the openings. But what I like about this, David, in particular, is we are starting to see other revenue streams doing well. And Michael doesn't emphasize that enough.
Right.
The ESPN going up, the theme parks, full capacity.
Well, ESPN going up, what do you mean by going up? ESPN Plus, you mean they're direct to consumer?
ESPN Plus, yeah. They put through a price increase on Monday night, David.
Yep.
Do you think anyone's said, oh, I don't want to take that now?
No, that's
not
true.
Not in front of football
season.
But
there are still the questions about ESPN, not questions. I mean, we know what way ESPN is going.
No, but what's left about ESPN Plus is what you need to play DraftKings. People, by the way, are worried about these gambling stocks.
They are?
Yeah.
Why?
Too many. Plethora.
Got it.
Plethora.
Okay. Back to Disney.
But this piece, frankly, I find makes you want to.
Is it a positive piece, in your opinion?
It's the most neutral piece I've read in ages.
That's what I thought.
And he's got a tripartite approach, and they all kind of yield $184.
All right, but you sold Disney in your...
I know.
You seem to be having some regrets a little bit lately, but I don't know.
I think the story's changing. I think the story's changing. Chapek's starting to emphasize how much is going well outside of the house. That's what I wanted to hear. I didn't want this to be a pandemic play. It's a post-pandemic play. Disney Plus still doing okay. But David, you want to go out. You listen to what Brian went in say about travel.
Know, but
where
Disney
Plus, where are they going?
They benefited
they going?
From the enormous growth.
Do you think they're going to Cleveland?
Focused on Disney Plus.
They're going to Disney World. And Disney, there's travel. I am saying we got to see how many people stay with Disney and don't leave. Okay, I know the searchlight guys that probably bother you that they left, but I am saying this is a neutral piece, and I'm kind of there, but I really want to be a little more itching to be more positive. And Michael did not give me enough to itch.
He didn't.
No, I mean it was like calamine.
Somebody got to you, Kramer.
It's calamine. Someone made that bold
decision on Disney, and then somebody got to you. I don't know who. I'm going to get to that bottom of this, though. All right, we got an opening bell a few minutes away. By the way, remember, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. You can find out who put the arm on Kramer. Squawk on the Streets. Opening Bell Podcast.
Oh, my God.
Keep your eye on Apple today. It's going to benefit from a couple of different things. J.P. Morgan adding to the focus list, 175 target, along with some of these reports, Jim, that they are looking to increase iPhone production to 90 million units this year, would be up 20%. By the way, if it gets to 149.81, that would be a $2.5 trillion market cap.
All right. Now, let's go back to when the stock was at 116 to 118. There were three different research reports said that there was absolutely nothing exciting in the pipeline. That this was a flop, that no one really cared, and that it wasn't needed, and this is going to be one of the first really non-cycles. And that was just one, David, I'm talking about 100% wrong.
Yeah.
100% wrong. Now, that's not helpful.
No, it's not helpful analysis, I suppose. I mean, the stock, what do you make of this recent move, right? It was flat only a few weeks ago.
People must have known that the orders were coming through. By the way, okay, let's just understand that you want to buy Liam Griffin's company, you want to buy Skyworks, and you want to go back to Hawk 10. You can buy Broadcom now that he's not buying
SAS.
The SAS Institute, which sounds like a charity, for heaven's sake.
They thought better of it. They decided against it.
You can do Corvo, too. I'm going to serve a lot of Corvo tonight, so I've been trying to gravitate. I was doing Hornitos.
Jose Corvo? Is that a new brand?
Okay. Yes. All right. I was doing Hornitos rather than Corvo.
Really?
Yeah, because I want to get out of the base station and more into $10 worth of Apple. That's what I think Skyworks is going to get. $10.
Oh, we'll watch for record highs here in a minute on Apple. By the way, opening bell at the big board, the Ivy Brain Tumor Center, at the NASDAQ, the U.S. Veterans Hall of Fame. But to David's point, I mean, Apple, along with the other big FANG names, are a big reason why the market's done what it's done since May. I think yesterday you tweeted something about, in the end,
it's
you buy
FANG. In the end, it's always FANG. And by the way, Costin's piece,
FANG and Microsoft. Don't follow yes. Microsoft.
It's FANG. Yes. I said FANG plus M.
You did.
Which
you
is impossible to pronounce.
Yes.
FANG. I gave up. I just do FANG plus M.
I mean, Microsoft's move is also big.
Did you know I created FANG? Okay, so what I found was interesting was even in Costin's piece, he talks about the concentration in business in America. And then he reaches the conclusion, this is Dave Costin from Goldman Sachs, he reaches the conclusion that they're not even going to do badly in this new antitrust world. They don't need to do any deals. And I felt even more sanguine.
Maybe they don't need to do deals because they're not going to be able to do deals. I mean, it comes up all
the time.
Well,
neither can JP Morgan.
And any questions, and we have some Facebook making a
Facebook
move today against Lina Khan as well.
Joining Amazon, petitioning for Lina Khan to recuse.
Lina Khan.
The chair of the FTC.
Talk about
who has written extensively, or did certainly, about Amazon, but this is a new thing, I guess. Get her to try and get. By the way, the FTC case was already thrown out, but they may bring a new one,
right,
which is why Facebook would now.
I still come back to the judiciary. There is a judiciary. It's just an agency. I mean, it'll take years. They will make it so you might not want to call Scott Barshe and do a deal. He's Paul Weiss. Executive.
Yes. He's the only M&A attorney you know by name, and so you name him a lot.
Yeah, I do, because he's also entertaining and terrific and nice.
Wonderful.
All right, so Compass Minerals. David, you're probably not familiar with it, but they discovered a lithium find. It could be 2.4 million. Carl, when we think of EV, which everybody's thinking of, and you know who's thinking of EV, is Kathy Wood, because that's a complete Woodstock. I mean, that's like Country Joe and the Fish. Compass Mineral. Going to be up huge because lithium is needed in EV. By the way, copper's
needed. Is it up huge? I know. We're looking at a picture of Lina Khan. We've moved
CMP.
On. We've moved
CMP.
On. CMP. Okay.
Lina Khan's really yet to do anything.
But everybody's very scared of her. So,
they are scared
minerals
of her.
It's
really interesting. It's kind of like a TR.
Ooh, I like that.
You like that?
That tune's taking me back.
Yeah. By the time we get to Woodstock, Lina Khan's going to crush it.
Really?
Yeah.
How about a little Sly and the Family Stone instead of
to
that?
To your point, Skyworks and Qorvo are the number 2 and 3 on the S&P.
What can I say?
Right? Clairvoyant. You say it here, it comes out there.
Clairvoyant. Liam Griffin's such a great guy. But, you know, he is a Sox fan. He's a Patriot fan, so now he's a loser. So long they were winners. Got to be from Tampa Bay. Give me a company from Tampa Bay, would you?
Okay. I'll try and find one.
Energy company?
Sure. Whatever you need.
Vertiv?
You know, we got a million things to get to, and you're talking about football.
You're talking about Vertiv.
Yeah.
I think Vertiv is the best SPAC, and it was the first SPAC. When you look at Citi, wow. I mean, they've spoken. The market has spoken, and Citi is the winner.
Well, it's
because it's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, but it's also been the underperformer, without a doubt.
Was the headline, when they're released. We're not as bad as we used to be. I think that was the headline.
As I pointed out, I mean, a market cap below that of Morgan Stanley and not that far off from Goldman Sachs. This is Citi. I mean, a giant global behemoth.
Behemoth. I always love to work that word in. But, you know, like David, I'm looking at Boeing for a second. Morgan Stanley says that the problems with the 787, they call it a minor headache.
Mm-hmm.
David, I call it migraine, and I think you should buy Biohaven because I still think Pfizer's going to buy them.
Okay.
Migraine. Not a minor headache, it's migraine.
You take the problems at Boeing more seriously than this analyst does.
Well, it's like I took a Nurtec this morning at 3:30 because my head hurts so much because of the weather, but I think it's much more serious. They got to be much more hands-on at Boeing. That was what was responsible for most of the decline in the Dow yesterday. I'll keep ripping through them, David. L. Brands, they like it.
I'm going to stop you because I do want to focus on.
Wait, you have something momentous? You have a momentous summit?
Yes, I mean, and you've taken a look at it. But let's do this, guys, because it is a kind of momentous moment here. You've gotten on Gary Gensler, the SEC chair. You've said he hasn't done enough.
He responds immediately.
Hasn't moved enough.
Do you see, this is direct response to my 17 different attacks on
him. Our viewers may remember Stable Road Acquisition was only last week. They cut the price that they were paying for this momentous, basically in half, a satellite company. But the SEC has charged them and come after them in a big way this
did
morning.
They ever.
I mean, you've got the complaint here.
It's brilliant. I hear it. The complaint's just nothing but brilliance.
Yeah. I've got the press release already.
Oh, okay. You want the complaint? I got the complaint.
No.
I read the complaint. Mikel?
Here's the complaint. We're just holding it up for you so you can see it.
Administrative proceedings.
But let me give you the Let me give you the specifics on it as you take a. By the way, still trading above 10.
Well, that's crazy.
Here's the quote from Gensler. The case, well, let me get to the charges, okay? They allege the company misled investors. All right, now let's read the quote first. The case illustrates risk inherent to SPAC transactions, as those who stand to earn significant profits from a SPAC merger may conduct inadequate due diligence and mislead investors. And that's key to the case here, Jim. They allege the companies misled investors about their technology, about national security risks, in terms of the former CEO.
Well, hold on, Dave. Come on, give the an early state. Give the best line.
Go ahead. Investors
have been told that it successfully tested its proposal technology in space, when in fact the company's only in space test had failed.
Yes.
Failed to achieve
everything was off here.
They call it what? What is it called? What road?
Stable road.
Screen door slams.
Yeah, screen door slams. Mary Joe's waves. Like a vision. Oh man, what a song. Anyhow. They also are saying, hey, if you were a pipe investor here, they're going to let you out. And, yeah. You know, they're going to pay $8 million in penalties. But the key here is if you're a pipe investor, you can say goodbye. By the way, he's forfeiting his 250,000 founder shares. But they came hard here, guys. And,
well,
in part because, you know, that is the question, right? The sponsors are, you know, is the sponsor's economics aligned with general investors? Not so much.
Right.
Not so much. Because as I pointed out many times, many of them, given the compensation structure, can make money on the SPAC even if the stock were to fall to 5, 4, even as low as 3 in some cases. Whereas, of course, for the investor out there, you want it to go up from 10 typically. Strangely, this one, I say strangely because there's so many questions
it's
about
early,
the business,
David.
Even though
it's
they cut
early.
The price in half. It's still 61 cents above, whereas you're seeing many higher quality ones not above.
I think I had a Stable Road last night. Or is it a Narragansett?
I don't know.
Stable Road. That's a great name for a bureau. They ought to switch.
You've been on Gensler. The SEC makes a move on SPACs.
Dave,
it's important to note.
I think they move with incredible speed, with efficiency, and creativity. I do.
Okay.
Oh, actually, no. That's a quote from the acting director. Imagine if the director comes out and says, I think my movie is great, it's efficient, it's fast.
Wouldn't you just say
he's talking his book?
Well, they're holding individuals accountable for their statements to investors, which are particular concern when they're aimed at improperly capitalizing on public interest in popular investment vehicles such as SPACs.
Finally.
You want to go with sponsors, so you know, do due diligence. But the fact is there's so many SPACs chasing so few companies to some extent that the companies can have their choice and say, well, actually, I want a higher price from that guy who's not doing any due diligence.
Right, but we'll hear from Kathy Wood tonight. She's backing away from Chinese SPACs, but she's been a real space aficionado. Yes.
I know.
L Brands. Everything's moving. It's like L Brands, that's Matthew Boss, JP Morgan.
Yep. They do raise the guide. Lots of target increases on LB.
Yep.
Deutsch is at 99. Jeffries goes to 75.
It's Bath and Body Works. When you have a pandemic that's involving that cleanliness, you want Bath and Body Works. I have to tell you that Qualcomm is buyable off of this Apple position. I'm not worried about the TIFF. I think it's solved. Newell Brands, David, you remember when that thing was just headed down, down, down?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's over.
Yes, I do. Well, they changed CEOs.
Martin Franklin.
Martin Franklin's no longer involved.
Right, right.
My
Polk's
bought his company, and you talked about that.
Can I go back to Charlie Scharf?
You're jumping all over the place.
Well,
here.
I'm trying to cover every single company in the S&P 500.
Okay,
David.
Now we're looking at semiconductors. Just try to keep
up
a little bit.
I passed that. I went back to banking.
Now let's go back to Wells Fargo. Go ahead.
I just think that Wells Fargo has gone from being the most hated to being the most amorous.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everyone knows in the end Charlie Scharf gets this man. Any of you guys met Charlie? First time I saw him, he basically called me an idiot. Third time, it was he said a party. Maybe. It would be awkward. My wife was here. He couldn't call me an idiot.
It's funny. When I met Charlie, he couldn't have been nicer. Said I'm one of the smartest guys he knows.
Really?
Maybe he just speaks the truth.
Really?
Yeah. No, actually, that's not true.
It's a complete fabrication.
I mean, for a second there, David.
We did have a good time.
I love him. He's got a huge dog. He's got one of the big. I am pro dog. He is the biggest dog I've ever seen. Charlie and Amy, nice people. But Charlie did instantly explain to me how I didn't know anything. It's kind of the first thing he said to me.
But he, by the way, he's been in that job for a while. There were a lot of challenges at Wells Fargo. Are you saying that he's through many of those and that there's clearer sailing ahead for
this company? I'm saying that once he cleared up that board, he was able to make the changes that makes it so it's one of the largest positions in my charitable trust. Because even though Charlie may not be, may say, hey, you know, Kramer, forget him, I'm not forgetting Charlie Scharf. I think he's real, and I think the numbers are great.
Got it.
And I think when Charlie comes on, CFO, they get them at 4 o'clock. Remember, they get the CFO closing bell?
Yep.
CEO going to be right here.
Right here.
Sitting
okay.
Right there.
All right.
And he's going to be wearing the jeans, got the white hair, looks so darn cool.
Totally.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he's going to come. Immediately, that guy's coming in Brioni. Actually, no, he wears Levi's.
We got to start lining up some good interviews. Let's do that? Yeah, let's do
it. Is Todd Bonin, our executive producer, on? It's time that we start putting people there besides Gelfand and, who was the other?
Spencer Raskoff.
Whom we also love having, by the way.
Spencer's got a lot of gigs.
He's got a lot going on. Yeah. Jim, we do have a few downgrades today. Peloton out of Wedbush. ConAgra out of B of A.
ConAgra numbers were tough.
Pepsi, Credit Suisse goes to neutral.
That piece was like, I'm not kidding. It said, we thought the quarter was good, but the stock went down, so we're downgraded. We're putting it a hold. But that's real dirt. That's journalism. Peloton down 6 because the guy says people are starting to go outside.
Yeah, Wedbush's general point is consumers have a lot more options now,
right,
both inside and outside of the home, and they're going to wait to see how this shakes out in this new era of growth.
I don't know. I think that when the CEO comes on, when Paul comes on, he makes a pretty good case that people's lives, you know, that's a change, that people like to work out at home. But as I was in the Hudson Yards, they make it look like spinning the most fun thing in the world in the middle of Hudson Yards.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Milos.
There's a nice Equinox there, too.
Well, that's the
Which at some point may still go public through a SPAC, though it won't be Chamath's.
Aren't they? Are they going to go with Thunder Road?
I don't know. I got it still in my head.
Screen door slams in her face.
Like a vision, she dances.
Yes,
what else could they be?
What
else could they be besides that?
Roy Orbison,
right?
Singing.
Darlington County. How about Darlington County? Darlington's
hey, that's
back.
Me and I want you only.
Right?
Send me home again. I just can't face it. All right. So
We do have Dow 35K once again and an S&P record high. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Hot PPI, Carl. Yields go down. Stock market goes up right now. I'm still not afraid of inflation, despite all the talk about it. Take a look at the sectors here. Banks doing okay today. That's nice to see. We've had titanic numbers, but not a lot of price movements recently in the banks. Tech's new high there. Energy okay. Industrials also up fractionally. Nice little mix in terms of the markets. I don't normally put up the earnings beats, but remember, the market is expecting titanic earnings expectations right now. And on average, companies have been beating about 20% the last two or three quarters, and they've got to keep that up. And so far they are. I mean, look at this is the percentage they're beating. We've had analysts not even come close to some of these estimates today for Bank of America, PNC, and Citigroup. The most bullish analysts were not as high as the actual numbers came in. This is really quite amazing if you look at these numbers. And there's a variety of reasons for it, but the important thing is the market believes it. If you look at the board here and what we're doing here, most of these stocks are holding up fairly well today. Citigroup, remember, if you look at the chart of Citigroup, Citigroup, remember, was $80 a few weeks ago. So these stocks are well off of their highs. In fact, I hit their highs really in the earlier part of the year in February and March. But at least they're holding up okay. If you look at the bank KBE, the bank ETF here, these stocks all had 50% run-ups, 50% in the last quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year on expectations of higher interest rates. There it is. And they topped when the 10-year topped in February and March. And they haven't been able to get above that really since then. So there's your primary mover for the overall market. In terms of BlackRock, Larry Fink, terrific this morning, as he always is. And can I just point out, I know we obsess about Robinhood all of the time here. Who really has the money? BlackRock manages $9 trillion in assets. Vanguard manages $7 trillion in assets. Charles Schwab manages $3.8 trillion. Robinhood manages $80 billion, 1% of what BlackRock and Vanguard manage. Now, Robinhood has a lot of wonderful investors that have a lot of small amounts of money. BlackRock and Vanguard and Schwab have a lot of investors that have much larger accounts that are there. I'm just pointing out where the actual money is and perhaps where we should have focus some of our observations overall here. Meantime, the IPOs keep coming. Kenny Dichter's behind me, just rang the bell for his company, went public a little while ago. But we've got 15 IPOs trying to raise almost $4 billion. People said it's got to slow down from the first quarter. It's not. Here's what I don't like. Year to date, the average IPO is up 18%. But aftermarket, aftermarket means what happens on the day after the first trading. It's down. The average IPO is actually trading down after its first day, about 9%. That's very disappointing. Why? Because it means the average guy who gets in on the first day is not making any money. Only if you get in before and start trading on the first day do you make money. And only 53% are actually above their IPO price right now. Is that good or bad? It should be above 60%. So a little bit of disappointment here. Yes, lots of IPOs. Yes, first day pricing, fabulous. After that, not so great. You want to keep an eye on that. We've got some big ones this week, though. By the way, take a look at Krispy Kreme. I just want to point out, Krispy Kreme is a good example. $17 prices, closes at 21 on the first day. Okay, it's 17 again. You see, it's still not a lot. It's better. It's made some money. It's not losing money. But you see what happens. All the money is made on the first day. There. Meantime, this week, a lot of them, I mentioned 15 of them. I'll just point out one of them, F45 Training, big global tech franchise, 20.3 million, 15 to 17, should price tonight. And maybe we'll see Mark Wahlberg. Who knows? Tomorrow, Carl, that would be a lot of fun. Bring some celebrities back on the floor. Remember when that happened all the time, every day? Yes. Movie stars were coming down here, yes. You know, the Marvel Universe people. I miss that. Bring them back.
I'd like that very much, Bob. Yeah, we'll see if Wahlberg will maybe come to the mic. Maybe Kramer can chase him down.
Oh, my God, yes. Done.
Bob, thanks. Okay. Bob Pisani. As we go to break, take a look at Treasuries and how they're faring this morning. We did get PPI coming in pretty hot, 7.3 year-on-year. And, of course, Fed Chair Powell's testimony on Capitol Hill. House Financial Services begins right around noon, 10-year 1376. And the Dow above 35K. Back in a moment.
We haven't seen any impact at all from the variants. When we monitor our bookings, we have pretty good visibility 60 to 90 days out. As the news of the variants spreading, we haven't seen any slowdown at all, any downtick in bookings. People are ready to go. The vaccines work. We have 72% of our Delta people vaccinated, and they're continuing to grow.
That's Delta's Ed Bastian talking about the Delta variant earlier on Squawk. Sounds like its bigger frustration is about European U.S. travel.
Yes.
Been leaning on the White House to say, look, Americans can go to the EU. Why can't they come here?
I totally agree. And that's one of the reasons why I still think American Express, which has got a great chart, by the way, is a coiled spring. They report on the 23rd. They are doing incredibly well just with domestic, including small, medium-sized business. Can you imagine when you get international, that's the stock to own. So you buy it now, betting that there will. Oh, man, that's Steve Squeery. He's just a fantastic executive. But I do believe that that is the stock to buy if you believe that Europe is going to come back. And I do, since I'm going to Europe, and I know others have gone to Europe. And I don't believe that. I think, look, there are a lot of countries there that are not great vaccinators, not unlike, say, Missouri.
Right.
Yeah. Show me. That's the theme of Italy, by the way, just in Missouri. Show me. I'll show you the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I'll show you the Colosseum. I'll show you my place.
Let's go to your place. Let's go to my place.
Me and Mary.
Can you imagine doing the show from Jim's place?
Oh, that's going to happen.
Let's see Cleopatra's Needle.
That's going to happen.
My place.
We have a good olive, got a really good olive oil harvest this year.
Yeah.
Our wine, little tingle pink.
Still waiting on that olive oil. I don't know about you.
I think you and I will be manning the olive oil press.
Got
yeah. Pushing that thing.
Got a nitrate feel to our wine.
Yeah. Nice.
It's early.
Nice.
Hanging on to gains in the meantime. Dow's up 100 points, and the S&P not too far from 4,400 once again. Stop Trading with Jim's coming up next. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Carl, sometimes I struggle. For instance, there's a great piece by Raymond James today called Beauty in Beast Mode about Ulta stocks moving. But the one I want to single out is Lululemon. Goldman Sachs makes it its top idea. Now, Lulu was one of those ideas kind of like Peloton where you felt, well, that's what people wear. By the way, American Eagle outfit are similar, David. That's what people wear, and then now we're going to start going out. We're not going to watch Lulu. No. Lulu has become part of the fabric, part of the firmament. Congratulations to them. Stock breaks out. Buy it.
Even here. Wow,
we got to buy it.
That's good.
David, have you seen the men's Lulu?
You know, I got a couple of pairs of those. It's a Father's Day gift.
Did you shop?
No. Okay. It was a gift. Okay.
But yeah, I think there's stuff.
They're nice.
Look, I wear. Not that museum.
When do you wear it? All you wear is a suit. Who are you kidding?
I have a 4 a.m. workout and I wear it.
Okay. You don't wear a suit when you work out and a tie?
It wouldn't surprise anybody.
You know what? I think the problem is they're Brioni's. If I could get a couple Zegnas, I would do it to them.
A little more give?
Yeah. How about the Armani's that the Italians wear?
Oh, the baggy.
Oh, my God. I can get that Armani.
Double pleat.
That soccer outfit. They wear double pleat. Yes. I can't do that. No. I can't get away with a single press.
That's very gecko.
You know,
Jim, how about Mad Money tonight? What's on?
Rusty Brazil is my oil expert. He's called every single move right. We've got to find out whether natural gas has peaked because it's really part of the inflation firmament that our friend Jay Powell, who, remember, wants to have people do better in our country. He's tired of just rich people doing well. I think that's admirable.
I do, too.
What are you doing with your collar?
It's pulling out my collar, yeah.
Well, we're a couple hours out from Powell. We'll see what he says, Jim. We'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.